baby. Oh, you were nice enough to mute your mic. I wasn't going to mute my mic.
Oh, it's because I know that knowing my luck, something stupid's going to happen in the background the second we start playing this. Cat breaking something. Some type of glass breaking.
What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Chilling. Chilling, chilling.
Man, my mic is hot as right now.
It's right on the bass.
Let me turn that down. Let me turn that down a little bit. Let's get a little closer. Oh. Where's Jaws?
I don't know. Everyone, no one reported late, and everyone
last one of the year, kids. Don't they want to be here? And
we have things to talk about. Things to talk about.
Also, guys, crazy. But if you're watching this, you can also watch us on Instagram, which
the gram is up.
It almost feels unnatural, but follow us on @GeekTasticSypha on IG. And actually, I'm going to change that. I'm going to edit it to just say on IG, because that's where we're streaming now too. So if you guys are following us, if you're like on the run and you want to like just check us out,
or if you're having the runs and you have nothing else better to do,
oh no, yeah. Why'd you have to say it like that?
Yeah. That's sick. That year-end energy right there, going for the lowest of hanging fruit.
It's funny because you say that, but they have no frame of reference of me acting crazy, because I don't act crazy. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying, the end of the year episode, we'd be acting crazy. We're going to be.
Oh, hey, the music's playing again.
I was about to say that was interesting.
I always forget that it has that loop feature that we don't really need. So we're going to fade that out and go right into it. Jonathan Majors.
Oh, we're going to do that? I thought we were going to give maybe the chance to the other guys to come in and maybe do the Dave East first.
Well, I was hoping they would. Well, Dave East is something that Skinny and I wanted to talk about. So either way, I'm waiting for Skinny.
It's a loss on words. So then Marvel it is. Jonathan, why'd you fuck up?
Dude, okay. So the thing with Jonathan is, and this is what feels really unfortunate about this situation. Everything I've read, to me, it really comes across like, and I'm not trying to take away from what he did, and I'm not going to say whether or not he's guilty. He's been found guilty. That February 6th, they're gonna be looking into his sentencing. It is what it is. But you know, when I read up on this relationship, it sounds like these two people were very toxic for each other. You know, they released text messages, they released videos. There is a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, when I'm looking at this stuff, I'm like, dude, what were you doing? You know, it seems like you genuinely should not have been in that relationship. It sounds like it was toxic. We're going to drop in Jaws D. What's up, Skinny? So, I don't know if you guys saw the text. I don't know if you saw the video.
I avoided all of it, but I did see some video.
The video of him bolting away from the car is the one that I find the most confusing out of it.
Well, that's a get away from me, woman.
That was based off of what I understood. They were claiming that him exiting that car, that he just did the crime at that moment. That was my understanding. So, it is just a little, I'm just saying it's odd.
I mean,
why is he bolting, and mad bolting, and why is she then following?
We're not lawyers. This is not a court case.
We're not lawyers. We're not psychologists.
I have no frame of reference for why she was running after him. I have no frame of reference for why he was running. But ultimately, as major fans of the MCU, I think the more important aspect of this, you know, the most important aspect to us, their personal lives, their business, they'll take care of it. Whatever it is will be. But for us as fans, and not to sound crass, but it is for us as fans because he's an actor and this is where we know him from. If he wasn't an actor, guess what? No one would have been reporting on this case. It would just be another domestic dispute between two people. And based on something I heard from a lawyer on Screen Crush, shout out to Screen Crush, Ryan and them again. They had a lawyer on, and the lawyer was just like, usually people don't even get sentenced for something like this. What he's been convicted of is is something that people would get 1 year for, and they end up working out deals where they don't even get sentenced. The reason this got as much visibility as it did is because Jonathan Majors is an actor. So with that said, moving
forward. Also, it's also that it's not her that sent it to the court. It's more so, I guess, the district attorney.
Exactly them.
So,
because the district attorney, which, if I'm not mistaken, is an elected position, needs to have these types of cases under their belt for the visibility. And the district attorney taking down a major celebrity and getting a conviction on them looks good for them, especially
and also when you're a district attorney, you're not taking losing cases. At least,
I mean, you try not to. Ideally, you're not taking losing cases. Yeah,
you're trying to be a Doctor Strange. I'm only working on the good shit.
Right. And again, we're not lawyers. This is just the stuff we know. Like, this is just general knowledge stuff.
General knowledge stuff. Yeah. Two, stuff we see on TV. I mean, we're not lawyers.
This is general knowledge.
One thing I've learned is that a lot of people's knowledge is usually stuff off of TV. Yeah. Like, what was that movie with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd?
Trading Places? Trading
Spaces. So two old men that pitted against each other.
Yeah.
They were trading in this stocks and bonds, but it's like something else. They're trading in something else.
Yeah.
And only because that came up in that movie, that the Senate or the House in the States said, okay, no one's allowed to do that because they just control the market at that point. That's the only reason they did. So a lot of times people only push things forward because of stuff they kind of see on TV, right? And they assume. But
right. Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible ideally a good writer writes what they know and or what they've researched, and you're not just writing fiction when it comes to this stuff. Like, you're obviously embellishing the stories and making shortcuts for the stories to move forward quickly, because, you know, every Law and Order episode, ideally, one of the reasons they used to put the date across the bottom was to give people a sense of a time frame. But I don't know anyone who ever watched the episodes and would actually pay attention to the time frame. Everyone always jokes about the fact that you would arrest someone and get a court case in an hour. And it's like, yeah.
You know, like, especially in New York City.
Right.
Like, nah, man, there's so much traffic violations that need to get pushed through right now, man.
All that to say, to the main point, Jonathan Majors, fired by Disney, fired by Marvel Studios, let go from the contract. I think we all expected that if he was convicted of the case, he was going to be cut. I think that was pretty fair. We knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And now it is for Marvel to figure out where they're going in the next phase. A lot of people have been saying that one of the things Marvel kind of already did, if you watch Loki, they weirdly almost wrap up the multiverse saga. It's very odd, but if Ant-Man was any indication of how powerful Kang was supposed to be, when you get to Loki, they kind of go, we're done. Victor Timely doesn't get the thing, doesn't become this guy. And
well, I think it's also the concept that, like, again, you're talking about multiple realities and this and that. It's more like Loki became a failsafe for Kang, at least in this part of the universe. It's not to say that you can't, like, I feel like this was kind of what they were going to do anyways, as a failsafe for if they, let's say, screw themselves with other movies type thing. But it just so happens to be perfect for, like, well, if we wanted an out and to ignore this character for a really long time, Loki's a good reason that we could do that. Because, like, ultimately, like, if we're being honest about this scenario, because, like, obviously we're going to talk about, like, you know, what should Marvel do?
Right.
Personally, I would go with recasting, in the sense that it sets a tone for their current and future employees.
Yeah.
It's a good tone to Hollywood in general, I guess, to a certain degree as well. But it's like, why should you? Because let's if they've done what they've done historically, which is, like, regardless of it, if some things right now seem a little bit all over the place, usually they're writing 10 movies ahead, or so to speak. Like, they have a game plan.
Right.
I don't think you're going to just wipe out, like, 10 years of planning for one guy who did a stupid mistake and now he can't act. Like, you lost. Like, you know,
I'm with you. I do, however, think, my understanding from a lot of different sources online, and even, I think, very fair, my impression of it is, because Kang didn't really pop as well as people had hoped in Ant-Man. I mean, Major's performance in the movie is great, but the film itself isn't good. So when you have the next big bad at showing up and doing all the work surrounded by actors and crew and stuff who, you know, did their best, but with the script they got and with the end product wasn't as strong as people had hoped. And then one of the things that I keep hearing people laugh about is, how did this man get beats by ants? I mean, it is unfair. Ultimately,
there's so many of them.
Just because one got defeated didn't mean anything.
I mean, don't people know about the Zerg rush?
Right.
Zerglings. Once the Zerglings get to you, you're not prepared for that. Boom, you're dead. You don't even set up your whole army. You can't get nothing out there. Boom, you're gone. Done.
I'm with you. And I
hey man, the Marines and aliens, man.
No,
all those Marines got killed out by the Queen alien. Remember that?
I had to get off mute. That was a wild reference.
Dude. That is nerd heaven right there.
I love that. That was crazy.
I'm linking it from StarCraft. StarCraft to the actual original, which is aliens. And all those Marines didn't even get to the Queen alien. Remember that.
Even mentioned
only Ripley got to the Queen alien.
I just want to give a shout out to Akeem, who's watching on IG, because we're also streaming live on IG. If you guys at Geektastic Cypher, and he just wrote, because unfortunately I can't share this on the screen, but he wrote, when you want that Connect 4 smoke, Dave. I think he's coming for you, because you two played and we have that video, but we didn't release it yet. So we'll have to put that out at some point. We'll have to edit it up and add a little bit of music, I have the tiger, but we'll definitely release that at some point.
Bring it. I'll do it again. I'm down all day. I will do it all day.
are we going to be moving into what Disney should do with Kang? Like, are we recasting or
I think so. Dave, you're one vote for recasting.
I would prefer the recast.
Yeah,
I'm saying it more from putting a precedent down slash like, why would you throw away 10 years of planning?
But right, I for one am okay with recasting. I also think I'm okay with pivoting to a different character. I didn't feel Kang. I felt Jonathan Majors did an excellent job as He Who Remains in Kang. I don't feel like I need more Kang though. Like, they didn't anchor me in with the character, and that's the problem. Because they didn't anchor me, I'm kind of like, well, if you guys pivot to someone else at this point, I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. And that to me seems unfortunate, because I should want to see the end result of that story. And if the end result is Loki defeated him in the Loki series by just simply not creating timely the first time, then it sucks as an ending for Kang, and hopefully he comes back in later on in the story. Maybe bring him back with a different actor, but right now I don't think they're not even calling the last movie with Kang the Kang Dynasty anymore. They've already said that's not the title.
Oh my gosh!
So
yeah, that was before this, no?
Oh, Skinny. Skinny, you're gonna hit us. Oh, Skinny got an idea.
Thank you for the setup, Brian. You won't come back as Victor Timely. You will simply come back as a Nathaniel Richards. But not now, later, because he's mad.
Yeah.
Obviously, he got defeated by ants or whatever. So we'll get a similar, hey, listen, two callbacks. Y'all bring back Terrence Howard, and that would be like the most hilarious callback ever. Just to be like, redeem him. Just be like, years later, it's Terrence Howard who's actually Kang the Conqueror. Great, thank you.
Okay,
That's crazy.
Skinny.
But then
calm down.
No,
the man's because they have Disney money now.
I'm not even.
But then,
mad.
But I mean, but that's then he would. So crazy. How would he come back? He would say not how he would come back. He would be like, you see how much you gave Robert? Gimme.
No, could do that.
No. He's.
He'd be that mad. Yeah, I feel like he'd be that because again, he signed on, no script. They didn't have Tony yet. They didn't have Guy Favreau.
Yeah,
they
he was an originator.
Nobody.
Okay,
he was
I
the
get
first.
It.
He was like, I'm Rhodey. Give me that.
I get it. You're Jazzo. I mean, I understand.
You come in. You do an excellent job as the character. But you're not the lead. they tell the story, it does well, and then you're demanding more than they're willing to pay. Guess what? They replace you. That's that.
He's demanding more.
Recasting them is okay.
He's like, hey, those guys got pay raises
for the second one.
But I mean, I understand the politics and everything, but I don't blame him for trying to get his.
But I'm just
especially when he was number one on the list. Like, I'm in this.
And he was number one on the list, but not number one on the call sheet, and that's important.
No, no,
and that's why.
And also the fact that Robert. You know, remember going into this, he wasn't.
Oh, legal.
Everyone
issues.
Was just like, I don't know.
I get you.
And he went to bat for him.
No, but bring it back.
I'm just saying, he's number one on the call. Like, he's number one on the sheet. And he said, yo, I don't know about Robert. He's had so much bad in his past. Yo, man, give him a break. Let him in. Come on. Like, that's.
I get that. That's what I'm saying.
I know.
Ultimately, I'm saying. Bring him back now, make him Kang. Why not?
Especially it's his legacy. It's like a legacy thing. No one's done that before.
Yeah, come back, get the chance to do an amazing character, bring a whole new energy to the character. You're Terrence Howard. People joke about you in the MCU, but guess what? You get the last laugh if you get to play one of the most influential characters. And on top of that, the biggest joke of it all, you get to come back as a recast of another character.
Another which black happened character to you as a light skinned man. That's like three like punches. It's like, ha
ha. Personally, I would want them to recast Kang because I mean, everyone kind of makes it seem like, oh, you know, Marvel doesn't recast, but like they've been recasting this whole way through.
Like they don't like to recast when it's black actors. That was the problem.
I mean, Thanos was black. When the Thanos does the head turn, he doesn't say anything. That was a black dude they modeled and was acting in that part.
Yeah.
And then they cast Brolin.
Right.
And then also Hugo Weaving was Red Skull and they recasted him to another English actor in
Endgame. Yeah, the guy from the Walking Dead actor.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not to say that they haven't recast it. What was it? Remember the Warriors 3? It was another guy, then it was Zachary Levi. Yeah,
yeah. They've done it multiple times.
I know. I'm just saying it's not a weird, oh my god. Right. And it's like I do agree that I don't think Kang has had that big splash and has that big, what's this lead up going on? Because I mean, it interweaves with the TV shows. And if you haven't watched the TV shows, then you kind of not all that invested.
Yeah.
And I think most of his big things are in two TV shows and
the movie,
one Ant-Man movie.
Yeah. And to your point also, the resolution comes now where you don't even see the resolution of the character, because unless you watch Loki, the last thing you know of Kang is he dies getting sucked into that quantum battery.
But can we like give humans more credit?
No.
Yeah, sorry. Like, are you saying you want to give the fans more credit that they should be able to figure out?
Not figure out, but like we're talking like here's these older executives, not really spacing anything, but here's these older executives that would be like, people can't, it's gonna be hard for general fans to keep up with the TV show and the movie. And it's like, guys, like people followed like 28 episodes of Smallville like every week. People sat there and watched bullshit Game of Thrones to get to an ending that nobody liked.
Yeah. It wasn't bullshit until the last season, jerk.
there were some bullshit, and we're just gonna have to admit that. But anyways, so I really feel like if you're about it, yeah, you're gonna watch Loki and you're gonna watch Ant-Man, and here we go, Wendell. Let's go.
I'm gonna tack on to what you said, Skinny. Wrestling.
Yeah.
But okay, I'll let you guys and I'll add my thing after.
Okay, so wrestling. I'm saying, like, there's a really good video by what's his name? Max, I think it's Max Landis.
Probably Max Landis. I know that.
And he talks about the whole the whole length of Undertaker's story.
Right.
And that is a crazy long, if you're even paying a long story of Undertaker and Triple H.
Yeah.
And he just talks about that. And that's because remember, Triple H wasn't Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the game. He was, I'm prim and proper.
Old
English. He became, I'm best friends with Lemmy. He became afterwards.
He was like the character from X-Men, the what are they called?
I'm looking at them.
Hell's Club.
Hellfire Club.
Yeah, he was just very like prim and proper. And with The Undertaker, he was an undead possible wizard.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then became a head of a cult leader, then became a badass biker, then went back to being kind of undead wizard guy.
Yeah, biker era was cool though.
You know, so like I feel people can, like, I too agree with Skinny, people can follow a long form story, and if they need to figure stuff out, well, now we have the internet. We're very lucky. We don't have our friends to kind of tell us stuff in between.
I will.
Fun technicality on Undertaker. Fun technicality.
Okay, I'll let you finish that.
When he was that American badass, before going back to undead, he got buried by Kane in the Buried Alive match. So technically, he's not the undead wizard, but he's just the undead badass.
And Undertaker has never won a Buried Alive match. He's always lost. Yeah.
The match is built around him.
Are you losing your own shit?
It wasn't own shit. It was the first of all. It was the you're not going to have people just bury themselves, and then after the first time, I bet they're like, so you could handle that shit, right? He's like, I sure. And then he just keeps getting buried alive.
Could he be that's how he became?
Because, like, how does that? That was the one thing I could never handle. Like, you're actually
the best shot, the best freeze frame, the best shot is his hand coming out from the bury, from the ground. Just him, like, no, I'm not dead.
You're supposed to do the burying. Why are you? You failed. That's your first. So, anyway, Brian.
Okay, sorry.
I will say, to the point you are all making, I'll go back to something that Skinny said before. Mm-hmm. Nerds!
Yeah.
That's end of the day. Everything you're describing comes down to
being a nerd.
Essentially being so into something that you're willing to invest the time. And that's the problem that I think the MCU started to realize. They're making their thing so... accessible... They tried to find different ways to meet people where they were. So if some people don't like going to the movie theaters, okay, here's a TV show. We'll give you a little bit of a recap in the TV show so you're still following along. Mm-hmm. If you're watching in the movie theaters, we'll figure out how to, like, work it into the story of the movie that you understand what's happening with these characters. If you're watching all of it, cool beans. You get everything all at once. It's like being an OnlyFans. You're getting it all. Mm-hmm. You're paying that premium price. But at the end of the day...
That's an episode title.
Fans, this guy. But or at the Twitch. End of Twitch, yeah, Meta. Or Patreon, you know.
Yeah, they're giving it up on Twitch, boy. Shit.
But at the end of the day, the major issue is not everyone is going to want to invest that much time. And secondly, the thing that we all know as comic book fans is when you're reading a comic book, sometimes when you get to that point where you're just like, oh man, I'm so far behind on these issues. For example, Skinny. You always talk to me about the stuff that's going on in X. I tried jumping into the beginning of the Krakoa stuff.
Yeah.
I tried. I kept reading, but it's like when I realized, I'm like, wait, so I have to read X-Men X-Force. Something, Kitty Pryde's one where she's a pirate. This
Excalibur, Hellfire Club. Yeah, yeah, all that.
I'm reading.
X-Men in general. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, all of them. I was reading five titles to get one story.
Or you watch Comic Explained.
Right, which is exactly the cheat code.
But that's super cheat code.
Well, you have someone else just kind of condense it for you.
You give me still images and a voiceover, boy.
When it comes to MCU, right now, you either were a fan from Jump and you've been continuing, but trying to jump in as a fan now when the product hasn't been as good as it was, and having all these old guards talk to you like, back in my day, when we had that first Iron Man, we had some good shit, I tell you. And then you have these kids sitting here being like, okay, well, I jumped in on Spider-Man with these two other dudes that I don't even know.
Only has the attention span of 11-second video. Fuck that kid.
Hey, man. Some kids are jumping in on Into the Spider-Verse, and there's too many. I mean, not too many Spider-Man, but it's just all the Spider-Man.
Again, attention span the size of a YouTube video this long. Like, but that movie, that's it.
But I mean, to Jaws' point, at least that movie is just like, we're going to give you all the Spider-Mans, but we're focusing on Miles. And here's his story with Gwen, and here's his story with Parker B., and this is the story. They just so happen to be involved with everyone else, but we're going to toss in Miguel, and we're going to toss in Spider-Woman, Jessica, but you're still only at what? Ultimately, six main characters you're focusing on, and the story is still ultimately about Miles Morales. But now, if I'm going to watch Tom Holland's story, and I'm seeing villains that Tom Holland's never dealt with, where are these villains from? Why are they angry at him? He's not even the same Spider-Man. two other Spider-Men show up. I don't know these Spider-Men. I don't even know these villains. But I'm supposed to feel something for all these characters when Tom Holland has been my Spider-Man?
I think that's answered by the concept that he's dealing with alternate versions of himself. And then at that point, at the same time, like if you're watching a Spider-Man movie, if Doc Octopus pops up on the screen, you know
what's up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know,
there's
versions of Spider-Man over the years. There's too many.
Yeah.
Like, but if you don't know who this Doc Octopus, you could be like, oh, wait, this one from the multiverse, they have the same. Maybe they're the same thing.
But what I'm saying, Dave, though, is when the movie came out, we had already seen the stuff, so we didn't need to rewatch it, but we wanted to. If you're telling a kid who saw Tom Holland play Spider-Man in Civil War, and now this is finally his major film, and there's two other Spider-Mans that you didn't watch the movie of, and people are telling you, like, yo, these were the best Spider-Mans, it's just like, oh, okay, do I have to watch these, though? It's like, no. But then everyone's telling you, like, oh, you don't get this reference, and you're not getting... It's like, that. It's the gatekeeping thing that makes it doesn't... It's not as fun for everybody, because we're...
I get it.
The blockades are
also not holding your hand. So if you're about to do that...
Yeah, that's fair.
Go do your due diligence. Get yourself a buddy.
I mean, I do feel like the kids younger than us or the generation after us are getting things through memes. So not even... Yeah. Sometimes they don't even need any of this that we are gatekeeping. They'll just be like, oh, that's what this reference is. Oh, and it was me and the boys hanging out. And it's like all the old 60s Spider-Man characters all together, like, and they're like, oh, that's where that's from. And then all the Spider-Man pointing at each other, and then they do it in Enter the Spider-Verse. They're like, oh yeah, the meme. Yeah, they did the
meme.
And
I love that. I love that.
So I mean, like, people are just getting in at different ways because people on the internet are just feeding it to them.
And I hope that popularity can turn into ticket sales, because that's the other major part. And I know I've said it before, and I say this only because the stats show it this way. It's not a personal opinion, but Gen Z does not go to movies. They don't go to the movies en masse. They, especially because of how movies are released now. Like, I just
growing up on that.
No,
Gen Z's don't do nothing, man.
The Hunger Games film that was just in theaters is already on Prime so that you can rent to watch, meaning there's bootlegs.
Transformers Prime was on Paramount/Amazon within weeks.
Yeah.
All Prime, these meaning the TV show?
Nah, man. Like, I mean, sorry.
Rise of the Beasts.
Yeah, Rise of the Beasts. Sorry. Transformers Prime. The good one. The good show. Love that show.
But that's, you know,
movie.
So all this to say, you know what I mean? When you're looking at Marvel, when you're looking at who you can cast for these roles, where you're looking at the direction of the company, I still say, and I know people think I'm crazy, Feige needs to step back. Feige needs to do the alley-oop for the X-Men, because it will bring him full circle. But once that alley-oop is done, let someone else complete the dunk.
Now he needs to get at least one off, maybe even two, so that Simon Kinberg can't come back.
I'm saying, let him do the alley-oop. If it's at least getting one movie off the ground where he introduces the X-Men properly, and fine. But let someone else make the dunk. Let someone else get to the Avengers versus X-Men that people are waiting for.
I say he has to do at least a trilogy.
Because,
every X-Men situation, it was like a Bryan Singer, a Bryan Singer, a Brett Ratner. I don't want that again. You see what I'm saying? Like, listen, First Class was Bryan Singer, Simon Kinberg. Simon Kinberg. I don't want that again. Like, no breakups. Give me just
you want, but you're talking about the director. I'm talking about someone as executive overseeing. If you want the same director, fine. Find the same director.
He's going to make sure that director stays, boy.
Sure.
But to be fair to Skinny, like, the executives at Fox kept switching over and over and over. One person in, one person out. And then that's where the directors kind of change. And, oh, no, this guy's busy with his other show. Yeah, let's get this other guy. We gotta hit while the iron's hot, baby. Gotta get him out.
You guys are saying that you need the same executive to make sure the same director stays on the project?
That's that friendship, boy.
I think it kind of goes a little bit beyond that. Like, you need somebody that's, okay, I trust this person. We've already have something established. We're going to have this story, this arc that's going on, 1, 2, 3, and all need to be together. And but I mean, you know, stuff doesn't always happen.
I'll ask you a question, though. Yeah. You guys are working. You get a call, and now Marvel wants you to direct a X-Men trilogy.
Okay.
For MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Feige is still in charge. The same man that's been there since 2008. The trilogy is going to end up running till 2030 something, because we're 2023. They're not doing an X-Men movie until at least next year for the first one, and you're not doing them back to back annually.
Okay.
I hope they would.
You wish they would, but they're not going to burn the X-Men three movies in 3 years. So
you're burning that.
Exactly. So you're going to spread the X-Men out, especially because you want to do other movies with other characters to mix the X-Men in.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jaws. You were going to say.
I was going to say, also, it's tough now because you have a whole universe to deal with. And exactly what you said before, Brian, I got to watch and read all these other movies to kind of make sense of all of this. And so, maybe some of the Fox stuff, if Deadpool's part of this.
Right. So
Deadpool has to be, that's going to for sure going to be also the second defining bridge.
No. For sure. And also, I don't want to be that director because there's going to be so much mandates. You got to fit this in. You got to fit that in. You got to interweave this. I mean, to be fair, the director isn't the writer. So,
right.
But okay. There's a lot of plates you got to spin at the same time, especially with X-Men.
You're hoping for a solid creative team is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I hope there's a vision and the vision gets realized and it goes all the way through. But again, I mean, the world is
the world. That goes with the trust.
That
goes with the trust of the executive.
Right.
And Wendell to kind of where you're going with, and also with Brian. Now, you're the director, and you come to a new establishment of work, and your trusty person who got you in is Dave. Dave's the executive, right? Yeah. Like any other job, you get there, you might know somebody. And if you don't know anyone, you're on your own. But you might latch to somebody who happens to be the most knowledgeable, has all the data, who's there.
Right. Yeah.
I.e. Kevin Feige, who's holding things together. If you're smart, you can see who's the glue. If the glue leaves, how many of us are just staying and watching that?
Ship I'm going to say this though: the glue has started to dry and it's starting to crumble, and that's my thing. If I'm brought in by Feige, and I've seen Feige at his peak, and now he looks like he's running on fumes to me, because towards the end of this feels like fumes. Secret Invasion, fumes. That was a huge misstep. Secret Invasion was not a good show. It makes no sense. In the line of the MCU, it feels like a complete waste. And all these other movies that haven't been doing as well, people are constantly being like, well, you know, the project, the money, it's still Kevin's show. What happened? Why?
Well, remember because I guess before, what's his name? The last Disney executive that came in when we're like, no, everything's streaming now. Everything's streaming. Yeah. And he's like, and like, I remember that article that we read. That may or may not be accurate, but I mean, more so with like, hey, we're going to be doing this, we're going to be doing that. And a lot of those stuff never came out.
Oh, God,
like, just come on, shove them out. And it's like,
pressure from on high. Pressure from on high. Kevin feeling the pressure does all this stuff. Now, what? This person that's going to come in to do X-Men. Do you think the pressure slows down with the most important IP? It only goes up.
No, but you at least have that guidance. So
I'm saying for the first one, let him alley-oop, but let someone else make the dunk. Because I don't see, homie, I don't want the same executive running Marvel Studios for more than 25 years. That's crazy to me. You need new blood. 2008 till 2030 something. He's gonna be doing it.
How old is he?
I don't know how old he is, but I don't care.
If we know his age, then we can easily gouge when he'll just exit himself.
I mean, even if he was 18 when he started doing this, and someone said, "Hey, this 18-year-old wonder kid's fantastic." 25 years later, I don't want that 18-year-old still running things.
I'm just looking.
I need that. Age. I need new blood. I need someone else with a vision. Kevin, I love Kathleen Kennedy.
I do.
I'm just Kathleen Kennedy might need to you need to change it up.
I'm just envisioning the Haters Guild while you're saying this in the background. Oh, I know. Just saying,
haters ball, haters.
Sadly, he's only 50 years old, so he can go. He's like Ric Flair. Man can wrestle for a few more years, bro.
He's not done yet. It's funny you bring up Ric Flair, because do we all want to acknowledge that Ric Flair petered out like a dying star more than a rising one?
He's now in AEW, still petering.
What do you mean petering out like a ride? He petered out. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
8 times, 10, 20 times, 10.
I mean,
every time he pissed off,
I mean, to me, more props. To me, it's more props to Ric Flair, just because if I'm a kid and I'm going woo, and then I get to be in the ring as an adult going woo with Ric Flair.
Oh, that's like, fantastic.
That's insane. Well, who's the wrestler that did that in TNA with him?
There's a lot. Oh, Jay Lethal.
I'm specifically talking about the black dude.
Jay Lethal, when they had the woo off, was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life because you literally see, basically, Jay Lethal starts doing an impression. He's a really good impressionist, especially for wrestlers. And he pulls a Flair on Flair. And you could see the exact moment where, like, the shotgun of, like, this is crazily good impression of me. And he, like, blows with his mind. Like, you see Flair, at one point, you're like, hey,
this kid ain't fucking around.
And then, then after that point, all he can do is woo. He was talking so much shit, and then Jay Lethal out-flared him.
So he just, and like, all he can do is woo afterwards.
Because he had nothing.
Turns around. And I think what Jaws is describing is fantastic. Any kid who grew up watching Jordan and then got to play with Jordan at some point, any kid who watched LeBron and is now playing against LeBron, fantastic. The experience of being on the same court with an icon that you grew up watching is amazing.
Just don't be a rapper around Jordan.
I'm just
saying, taking a picture with you rapping.
If I'm there watching Kevin and I'm super excited to be with Kevin, that's fantastic. But I also know that Jordan, LeBron, Kevin, and Flair all at some point, if I'm old enough to be on this level with you, you're old enough to might need to sit down.
That is that.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but
that's what you just did. Your arm's still hanging in there.
But to scale it back, because I feel like we've gone on a certain degree of a tangent here. I have two questions.
Sure.
One, if you were to recast whom, and then if we say we're pivoting,
whom?
So let's start off with the pivot? Recast. Let's go around the recast.
Okay, so Jaws, you said, who did you say, Jaws, for recasting?
You said Terrence Howard.
I didn't say anybody, but I know, like, the internet's been saying John Boyega, but I don't know if John Boyega wants to go back to Disney after Star Wars. He's just like, I'm not feeling that kind of, have to put everything on my shoulder. And when I'm expecting it to be one way, it gets changed around at the last second because they don't really have a plan. And, you know, so I remember seeing people saying John Boyega. I also saw people saying
Yaya, who played Black Manta.
What was another one? I think Wonder some people Man, were saying
Black Manta. Yeah, sorry.
What's his name? The guy that played
Wonder Man. Good point. Sorry.
Someone that played Remember The Next Friday and the pimp Pinky?
Oh no, I don't remember that. I have to
look. The big guy?
He's a really old actor though. Like, Clifton Powell. But like, he's a bit older. He's older. I don't think that would work. I mean, I do feel like he has presence, that kind of, like, you know, but
Meteor, like, Man? No, I'm kidding.
No, he's
Clifton Powell. If you look up Robert Clifton Towson? Powell, you know what I'm talking about.
Meteor. No, but I mean, if you're going that old at that point, pick someone more recognizable. No, like, I've heard people throw around Denzel if you're gonna go which even I don't agree with. I heard Denzel and I was just like, no, that's a horrible idea.
Honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that he was already used, I would have said Michael B. Jordan.
He's already used.
That's fair. No, I but I understand what you mean. You're looking same age, same actor type.
Same, you have to have a certain degree of a style, because I feel they've given a style, right? So you need an actor who could not be majors, but be able to be like, there's a certain style of how the character was. You know what I mean?
You're replacing the rival from Creed 3.
Well, that's exactly, that was the other thing. I was like, it kind of, you know, they've been around each other. What's his name? The guy who's supposed to be Blade could also do it, but he's tapped for Blade.
Oh, yeah.
Marshall Ali is going to be 56 by the time that freaking movie comes out.
Oh, yeah, it's never going to come out.
Yeah, that's honestly.
They're already going to have to recast his ass. Shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Winston Duke, you can't use. Yeah, like, they really did run through so many of the actors that are on par with majors that I'm like, I don't know which one you. Oh, okay. This is going to sound crazy. I don't think he's done anything. No, I don't think he's done anything.
Marlon Wayans?
No, David Diggs.
Oh, okay.
David Diggs is a good actor.
Yeah.
And he has the same kind of ability to do that kind of clownish, that, like, you know how Jonathan Majors, one of the big factors that people were saying, like, oh, he really played on his clown training to do He Who Remains. I feel like David Diggs could play that energy. So that's my, so I'm David Diggs. Jaws, you're saying who?
I'll say John Boyega, just because John that's Boyega, the only one I have in my head, but David I don't Diggs. Think that's gonna, or if you can't do Denzel, do his son.
I was literally about to say that.
I'll give that to you.
I was literally about to say that. I was waiting to say it. But yeah, I was going to say the, because it's what, it's, is it David?
John David.
John David.
John David. So David Diggs, John David, John Boyega, Skinny. Were you serious about Terrence, or you want to throw out a...
Nah, okay, so I'm going to say not him, and I'm just actually throwing this guy's name out because I'm looking for dark-skinned black men. So, man who played Lupin, Lupin.
Oh, oh. Dude, who played Bishop in the...
That's a good one.
That's a good one. That's my throw. Terrence Howard would be like a crazy like dunk, but it would be like, wow, you guys are something.
And they would have to give him a line that says, ah, you didn't think I'd be back.
Yeah.
And that would just...
So you're thinking Hassan Diop. That's his name. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Hassan Diop, David Diggs, John David, and John Boyega. All right. That's our list.
And as for Pivot.
Yeah, the Pivot.
And for Pivot. Okay.
No, it's
for
I'm going to say this before Ninja Vanish, and y'all can discuss because...
Bedtime, yeah, hit it. Yeah, yeah.
Another Richards. Just make it the maker.
Oh yeah, I've seen some people say that too. Okay,
make it the maker.
For those of you who don't know, the maker is a character from he's Reed Richards from Earth 1610,
for him to be doing multiversal fuckery.
Yeah. That's actually a very good
point. His universe got mashed up. Even in the comics currently, he's trying to create another ultimate universe because his ultimate universe is gone.
Yeah.
And
he's an evil, evil version of
Reed evil Richards. Son of a bitch. Yeah. It'd be the great, like, Dave disagrees because we spoke about it this morning, but it would make great sense to me to
introduce. I mean, you're not, I don't see what, like,
I'm not denying this sense.
The only hard part about it is the fact that people don't know. You'd have to introduce the Fantastic Four first.
No, you don't, because you don't even need to tell you who the hell he is, because no one knows who the Maker is until like years later. You don't need to do anything about his identity. He's just evil for evil's reasons. He has this big old mask on his head. He's evil.
But
you find out who he is from Reed Richards himself when Guy gets introduced. That's it. Council of Reeds, one of them got crazy. Sorry, y'all.
I'm not mad at it. I mean, I think fans would want to know, but I'm not mad at it.
Are you saying that because you want to still go on the on a
multiverse
type thing?
No, I'm saying that just for to save face of if they were to still go on a multiverse thing, they kind of still have to because it is the multiverse saga that they have to wrap up. You're not going to wrap up the multiverse saga with Avengers versus X-Men, boom, Secret Wars. Like, you're not going to have a current Marvel universe fight the Fox X-Men universe and that big boom causes or whatever. You have to find a reason. Even if they did it like that, there's needs to be a reason as to why that happened and why all this shit. Like, why did the first incursion happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the fucking Maker.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, who did the, why is Battle World exist? Boom, this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, maybe is it Annihilate? What's the one? Is it Annihilation? He's like a green face and he has the purple
negative zone. He's from the negative zone too. Yeah.
So I feel like you could also
negative zone. Again, though, to me, you need the Fantastic Four to introduce the negative zone because you haven't introduced it.
That's a definite. For negative zone, I'd say most definitely need the Fantastic Four.
Or at least someone introduces a negative zone, even if it's not about
it. But no, someone would introduce it, but you could say you'd have like a reference at the end that, let's say, Reed or someone is like, "What the fuck? How did you get that?" Like, you know, you'd have to have one of those.
Yeah, you've already seen a Reed Richards
send-off or direction towards.
Yes,
you've already had Reed Richards. Technically, sorry, is that
Doctor Strange? We've already seen a Reed Richards.
Yeah, it's true. He's not wrong.
True. I keep forgetting that.
Everybody forgets because dude died, but
immediately.
Yeah.
He died, man. It could even be him. Listen, like, he could unravel himself.
Oh, that would be
come
cool.
Back, mash up,
man. John Krasinski playing the Maker, and someone else cast as Reed Richards.
Anyway,
gonna piss off some fans.
Make them feel something. Do it. Make them feel. Make them feel. Get out. Get in that hate.
Hate. They flow through you.
Wild. Okay, I'm not mad at that. Annihilator, Maker, Jaws. Who do you have?
I think we said it last week. Doom. I guess it's easiest. Like meh. Doom. Just leaning that hard, like, oh god.
I like how like you're less like, eh, fine.
Just, yeah, Doom, whatever.
It's like you're at your house and you like you've played all these video games before and you're like, I guess I'll play this video game. You're like, fine, Doom, I'll put it in, you know? Go ahead, Dave, hit us.
Although not so, I don't know if it would work, but Sinister in some shape or form.
Okay, so
that would be wild.
I have been seeing people say that if you want to pivot and you hard pivot to the X-Men stuff, you bring in Sinister and you do a whole bunch of shit with Sinister, and that ends up affecting the Marvel, like the MCU itself.
I
like it, but I feel like Sinister needs the mutant gene to be established first.
I would say
do what they were doing in Deadpool, where, you know, you have the mutant gene and then you're just Sussex. You just keep saying Sussex, yeah. keep throwing that because he's around but you don't see him,
right?
And, you know, I do appreciate that kind of through line that they were thinking was supposed to build to something
to get
I do appreciate that.
Perfect.
It's there.
Yeah, Sinister is one of those characters that if you're gonna do it, you have to do it so well too.
But you'd have to go full. You can't no pause, nothing, no break.
Like, how far in Sinister? You want the four Sinisters with the like the different card versions?
No, I just want his face to be accurate. Them teeth need to be rigid and scary, just like the TV show. I want to be scared.
just sawtooth.
But I scared.
The thing that's kind of screwing over. It's because they made a good decision that they're ultimately getting screwed over with Disney, is that you chose Kang because Kang will be the easiest way to branch out to the various other things that are coming, whether it be Fantastic Four or trying to suggest an X-Men thing. There's so many ways, easy ways you could bring it in, just because he's a very vast character and he looks at everything, right?
Right, yeah.
But I think because of this happening, the problem that they're having is like, we didn't have a backup plan, because that was really the ace in the hole. Because now all even when you talk about Doom, you're like, everyone's Doom. I'm like, you still need. I don't want to see Doom before Fantastic Four. That to me doesn't make any sense. It makes as much sense as the Sinister thing, right? Like, they're good ideas.
But
very smart ideas for people who would have a global reach on what they're doing.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask. Who are some of the villains that we have that are? Oh, you already did him.
Because I saw someone
Namor.
Right.
I would have said Namor.
Oh, no, you already did that.
Yeah, but that's unfortunate, because the version of Namor we got was not the version of Namor that... And don't get me wrong, Wakanda Forever, again, we know not easy with their situation, R.I.P. Boseman. Like, we understood that they had to make a lot of hard decisions with telling that story without Chadwick, and they did what they did. But the version of Namor we got didn't feel as intimidating as the version of Namor you have in the comic books. Okay. Like, had you been able to introduce Namor as a former ally of Captain America who fought the Nazis, and they just never talked about him because he disappeared, and then you hard turn to now he wants global domination, and he shows up to be a major villain on Earth. Like, when you have that, because you have a King Eternal still sticking out in the sky on Earth.
Which you could use them as some way in all this, too.
Galactus.
Yeah. Well, I saw someone write Galactus, but I'm there. I saw that was like one thing that someone pitched out there. I'm like, you could make it that Silver Surfer just interacts with the Avengers instead of Fantastic Four. That's an easy thing to do, but like, you already fucked up Galactus one time. I don't think you need to play around with like the origin story like that. Yeah. Like, you know, like another thought I had was like, somehow link it to the Shi'ar Empire.
Ooh, that's a lot.
You could choose one guy and you could even make up a character. The only thing is, at the end, whenever he's defeated, you somehow link it to the Shi'ar Empire, therefore just again exposing to that universe, let's say, but it's also a risky bet.
kind of like how you did Ronin with Guardians.
Yeah.
But I mean, but what you're asking is to do Ronin, what they did with Ronin in Guardians, but then make him a universal threat? Or you're saying introduce Ronin like you did in Guardians, but then the same way the Kree Empire exists is the Shi'ar Empire exists, and the Shi'ar Empire for some reason. Okay, here we go. I wish Skinny had stayed for this. From Dave, what Dave says, you introduce random Shi'ar character X. Mm-hmm. Shi'ar character X becomes a threat to humanity. The Shi'ar Empire is out there. They get referenced. Mm-hmm. They come to Earth and they say, we're here to stop the Phoenix. And everyone's just like, what's the Phoenix? And the Shi'ar Empire is just like, we can sense the Phoenix energy. You find out that that breach that you had with Photon, who, or technically not Photon, the breach that you had with Photon in the Captain Marvel sequel, the Marvels, the energy of the Phoenix was felt, and that's why they showed up. But it's not actually there yet. At which point, now the Shi'ar Empire has come to Earth. The Avengers are there. They figure out some way to connect the two universes. The X-Men show up from their side. You get the X-Men, the Shi'ar, and the Avengers. That way you don't have to do 30 movies to get to the Shi'ar Empire. You introduce the Shi'ar Empire, and you get to hot step over some stuff, and you still get to bring in the X-Men. What do you say?
It's a wild possibility. I'm not against it.
Is it too long? Would it take too long? Because that's my thing. I don't want it to take too long.
Well, that's because, but in my opinion, like, and again, movies? For me, the issue is this is like, I'll say this respect. I didn't want, the second you told me there was X-Men in the mix, I'm like, I don't want phase 4, 5, 6, whatever. Like, give me next phase after that is X-Men. Yeah. Like, I feel they're sitting too long on it. Like, X-Men is already something that maybe they're like, we want to wait longer so the taste is out of people's mouth. But like, X-Men's been gone and bad for a really long time. Yeah. And I even the ones when they restarted, like, I didn't mind so much the actors and actresses. Like, I actually like the guy who did the second, like, both Cyclopses, to be honest with you. I like both of them, but
I mean, Cyclops is a character you're supposed to dislike.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, they doing,
he's your boss, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's like, the ship's got to run on time, guys. Dad's not here, ship's got to run.
Yeah. All right. I feel like we went over every theory, every idea. I feel confident that Marvel's going to call us up and start making some decisions based on what we said here today. So I look forward to it. I think we're going to unfortunately have to skip the trailers because we only have like
that's fine
30 minutes left. But we do want to mention to everybody to go check out Beverly Hills Cop Axel F, which is going to be coming out on Netflix. The American Society of Magical Negroes official trailer dropped. You should check that out. Marvel Studios Echoes, the Rampage trailer came out, which announced that all 5 episodes drop on opening day for the series. So it's going to be one big crazy day for those. We have Kung Fu Panda 4 and Lisa Frankenstein trailers that are both also dropped.
That last one's weird.
Diablo Cody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And directed by Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I forgot his name. So.
Can't find a man, make a man.
Yeah, I'll mention this for Rick and Morty's season 7 finale. If I'm to judge the entire season now based on the episodes that are available, mid.
Oh boy,
I'm sorry what you said before. Yeah. Take it,
mid. Because Dave, I'm telling you, when you see this episode, it's an episode that should have been done earlier in the season. That's all I have to say.
Oh. That's not a good thing to say to me.
No. Like, I'm not. It's funny enough, it's not a bad episode, but it's just if you're going to end the season on that to me was just like, really? What?
I didn't realize that this season, how did I realize it was the
finale?
I usually watch it week to week, but this was the one week where I just was a little busy. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. But if we come back after the holiday, we'll.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'd be down to talk about it because I'll have thought about it a bit more too. But go check it out. And I would say that Jack Reacher's back, season 2. Go check it out. Shout out to my homie Sandy over at Watch Mojo. We had a great conversation about the series and why Reacher is way better than Tom Clancy's character there that Krasinski plays. Jack Ooh. Ryan. Yeah. So, yeah, Reacher is dope. And
I do like that actor that plays Reacher.
Alan Richson. Yeah, yeah,
funny He's actually great. Really funny.
Great. But... He's great in the role. He's yeah. 100% agree. And then my main review that I wanted to do, Percy Jackson, Lightning Thief. Disney launched it today. I watched the first two episodes because I wanted to talk about it on the show. I've read the first book series, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. The second book series, The Olympians, I read almost till the end. I didn't finish the last book. I read the Cain Chronicles, which is the Egyptian mythology story that takes place in Brooklyn across the water that is still in the same universe. I've been trying to get into the Norse one, and I need to read the last of the Percy Jackson Olympian series to get into the Apollo series, which takes place after all that. Needless to say, there is a lot of content for Sounds Disney. Like it. Yeah, Disney, if Disney can do this properly, they have content for years. Now, the actors are going to age out, unfortunately, so that's something they would have to figure out. AI actors, I expect it to be a thing sooner or later.
No. Oh
my God. 100% expect them to start using AI to create like young avatars of actors, so that if a character is like 16 in the story and the actor is like 25, they'll just use the actor and keep using the AI avatar that they made of them when they were younger.
I really hope not. That
I agree with you, but. You can't have you're not going to replace the actor every couple years.
The human race doesn't need to be lazier.
I agree with you, but they're not going to film these shows back to back to back to back so that you could release them for years, because the technology is going to change. So they don't want to do that. So they're going to figure something else out. And if you're going to do Percy Jackson, the character is like only 18 or 19 by the time you get to like 9 books later. So
I would just assume they would do an animated series and just be like, all right, cool, this guy's this age, and but
they already started live action, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
all this to say, I love Percy Jackson as a character. I love Greek mythology. All of you know that. I think Greek mythology and comic books are the same damn thing, just modern day version. So
what do you think of the first two episodes, though?
Love them. Love the episodes. The minor changes that they had were inconsequential. I didn't feel like I lost anything. A little bit of the motivation changed. Like, they changed why a character does something here, why a character does something there. But Annabeth, our young black actress playing Annabeth Chase, who's Athena's daughter, fantastic. The energy she comes in with is exactly like the character in the book. At one point in the book, someone uses Percy as bait for another group of kids to chase after. Annabeth is the one that's doing it. And when you watch that scene in the TV show, it is so good, because she then looks at him and it's just like, he like looks up at her and he's just like, were you here the whole time watching? She's like, yeah. And he's like, and you didn't help me? She's like, no. And she's just looking at him like, nigga, why are you asking these questions? You don't understand. What did you think this was? When I told you good luck and disappeared into the woods and left you on your own during a war, like a capture the flag battle in military, like ancient Greek military attire, and I dipped into the woods, what did you think I was doing? You are bait. That was what you were, you idiot. Deal with it. And then he held his own, which is the whole point. She knew he could hold his own. That's one of the reasons she did what she did. So watching that show, seeing that play out the way it played out, they changed some of the stuff and some of the motivations for why people do things, but ultimately I can't be mad at it. And what was the other thing that I was really excited about? I gotta find the actor, because for casting, Lance Reddick was supposed to be in it. Lance Reddick was supposed to be in it, but unfortunately, as we know, passed on. But I'm trying to find the other cast actor, because they changed up they changed one of the cast to like one of the most recognizable black actors. Thank you, Glenn Turman, who is like who was on A Different World and has been in like 101 different great black movies. and TV shows and non-black main stories. I'm trying to see all the things that he's done. Percy Jackson, Black Cake, Outlaw Johnny Black. But you know what? The thing that people, I always recognize him from when I was younger, and it's going to be impossible to find it because the movie is from like the 70s.
Mm.
But I remember seeing that poster when I was a kid. Is it the Together Brothers? Anyways, he's just been in everything. He's been doing it for years. He's a fantastic actor, and he plays Chiron.
Who is he in A Different World?
The general, the teacher.
Oh, like the army recruit guy, I guess,
on campus. Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So you know, he's so good in it, and everyone is. All these young actors are fantastic. You know, they're only 2 years older than the characters they're playing, so it actually does feel like they're the age they're supposed to be, as opposed to, you know, 90210 back in the day where you had 30-year-olds playing high school kids. You know,
like, I'm a teenager, but yeah. You're 30.
Oh, also shout outs to Jason Mantzoukas, who's playing the god Dionysus. In the book, Dionysus has been sent to be essentially a camp counselor at the Camp Half-Blood. So he just hangs out there, and he's not allowed to drink alcohol anymore because obviously he's partied too hard, which is the story. But, you know, that's the thing that's fun. Like, he's there, and Jason Mantzoukas is playing him. And, yo, Mantzoukas can be scary. Like, in the book, I never pictured Mr. D, which is what the kids call him, being scary.
Mm-hmm.
But Mantzoukas at one point is telling one of the kids, like, you're not going to tell anybody what you know. Do you understand? And the kid's like, but and Mantzoukas like opens his eyes wider and turns his head. And he's like, do you understand? And I was like, shit, Zoukas, calm down.
I mean, all the characters he tends to play, they're always like wild, crazy dudes and everything like that. Like, but so I never don't want to mess with him too much.
I never felt scared because, like, even in what he's in, whatchamacallit,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
obviously. Yes, fantastic in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I was thinking of John Wick, where he plays, but like that character was kind of like, you know, just a homeless dude who's a little darker and creepier, but not like, I didn't think like murderous. And when he's Mr. D and he opens his eyes wide, turns his head and looks at the kid, and he's just like, we're not going to tell him anything. And I was like, this motherfucker about to kill a child. Like, I was like,
I will kill a child if I have to. I have done it before. I am older than you can even imagine.
100%. That was the energy that he came in with, and it was great. So it's dark, but it was great. So I would say check out Percy Jackson if you're a fan of that type of stuff. If you're a fan of Greek mythology, if you're a fan of, like, you know, YA novels, and one that doesn't go, because one of my coworkers was talking to me about YA, and she's just like, YA is essentially just porn for kids, right? I was like, I'm like, is it that dark? She's just like, well, I'm reading this YA novel, and all it is like 20-something-year-olds having sex, and this is supposed to be for young adults, and it's like teenagers are supposedly reading these. And I'm like, if I was a teen,
I remember what was that movie back in the day that was basically Dangerous Liaisons but for teenagers?
Cruel Intentions.
That nebulous time in the Cruel 90s.
Intentions. Cruel Intentions?
Cruel Intentions, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the whole, like, Cruel Intentions is the whole thing of, like, the step siblings are sleeping together. They're trying to get this other person to
sleep. One of them wants to sleep with the other one.
So basically that. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Like, I guess because the way she said it, she's just like, these YA novels make me feel like I'm ovulating. And I'm just like, if kids are reading this, this is essentially just porn for kids. And I was like, whoa. I was like, okay, calm down.
It was Cruel Intentions. I think there's another movie, Wild Things.
Oh, yeah. And then there's also Alicia Silverstone has the one with that like insane story where they're on the roller coaster, and it's like super. Oh god, I'll try and find it. Anyway, Dave, hit us with your subject. I'll go check what this movie was called.
I got to see John Woo's Silent Night. Nice. It claims to be a silent film, which for the most part it is. It's pretty good overall. It feels like a little bit of a ripoff of Punisher to a certain degree.
Oh, interesting.
Not gonna lie.
I mean, everything's derivative of Punisher, to be fair.
No, but it's
a revenge movie.
Because, like, I'll just say, like, it's a movie where I'd say watch it. It was interesting to see a movie predominantly, like, no dialogue whatsoever. And there's obviously a lot of, like, you know, real acting happening in it to a certain degree. The action is, like, it's kind of like what's it called? We said the name before, John Wick, but as if John Wick never had any training, type thing. So it's like, it's interesting how they do it. The story itself is moving, but there are just like, so in the movie, so some spoiler here in regards to what you hear, you do hear like radio, you do hear cop radio throughout the, so you do hear voices at some points in time, and they do a good job of like going from like, let's say one room to another where the camera's still outside of the room. So you hear people are talking to somebody and you can kind of get the gist based off of the sequences of events, right? What they're talking about and what the outcome is of that conversation by being out. But you can only really do that so many times, you know? And at one point in time, they do break the fact that his wife talks to him briefly, like not even briefly, like you hear her like whisper words to him. And part of me just wished at that moment in time, it's like, okay, other people can talk. You can't have like a perspective through this guy where the majority of the time you're not hearing him talk. Or talking, or like when people are talking to him, he's so enraged by whatever's going on, he's not paying attention to them. But like, there are sometimes moments where you're like, someone would speak now. This isn't real. Like, this is kind of stupid. Like, there's even a point in time. So for those who don't know, it's a movie about a guy whose son gets murdered in a crossfire gang related thing on their front lawn on Christmas. The drive-by. So that's what I was looking for. And you know, he gets shot up as well, and miraculously his trachea stops the bullet from going all the way through, because he actually has like at the beginning of the movie, like he gets surgery on and like you see the bullet in his throat, and I'm like, I do not believe his throat is strong enough for a bullet, especially at the very close to point blank range this guy fired upon you, that your throat is stopping this bullet from not going through your like, you know, it just was a little unbelievable.
They're just full on saying that his throat was too thick for a bullet to go through. That's
Dude, you see it like you see the sur- like the one thing that was gruesome at the beginning is you see the surgery and you see them take it out of his body. So you're like, that makes no sense. But regardless, that makes him mute the rest of the film, not deaf, but just mute the rest of the film.
Right.
And it's him going through like the motions. Right. And a lot of his obvious driving forces behind things and whatnot, and I do find like how they end the film to be pretty good, because it kind of explains, you do get to see the motivation, like the clear motivation of what he was doing, because at some point in time you're like, this is just excessive and stupid, and why would you go this far?
Yeah.
And because of the how they ended, you kind of make sense of it. But like, there are some hurdles or inconsistencies to this film that are very weird. Like, for example, him and his wife doesn't speak to him at any point. You never see a scene where his wife is speaking to him since being shot. And the only time you see a communication between them, which is like kind of like they bent the rules a bit, you see him texting her and back and forth. But there is a point in time where he's obviously going through shit, right? Like a certain degree of PTSD from what happened.
Right.
And she won't enter a room and text him. And you realize that that's their mode of conversation. I'm there, I'm like...
We're for insomnia. No, everything like, from future projects up until 2035, Wolverine gameplay being leaked, to even profit numbers and employee personal information.
That's supposed to come later.
No, it's better, right? But just for me, like, there's just some times where it's like, this just doesn't make sense that no one's talking. And there were some moments, like, there was a period of time where someone gets shot clearly twice. In the abdomen, and you harder sternum. Take your pick.
Yeah.
And in the next scene, one of those bullets, even the stains of the bullet are just gone, and he's shooting people. I'm there. I'm like,
God.
I agree, John Woo. You press the realities of things, but you're not going to tell me someone gets shot in the stomach, then shot in the sternum, and not only is he coming back, but full-fledged standing and using a firearm on somebody else. I don't believe this.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
Not like doubled over in pain, shooting from the ground. Yeah. Just like, standing up and shooting.
You know, yeah. Like, exactly. Like, you see fucked up shit in John Wick, but you set a precedence after, like, a lot of movies to get to that point.
Right. Like, you know? Like John Wick might just not have nerve endings. Like sometimes you start to wonder, like, how do you not feel the pain of this thing or that thing?
Yeah. Like, this guy is a stay-at-home dad basically at this point. And for you to pull off what you're pulling off, I agree that you could beat the shit up. I'm not saying you can't even maybe learn skills, but the types of things I'm seeing is like, nah, come on. Like, you, this is years of training, not like a year, because that's what happens. It goes, it starts with one Christmas and it ends at another.
So this is this like Peppermint? Do you remember that movie?
Well, I actually went to go see it with Mike Wilcox, who's been on the show a few times.
Yeah.
When we got out of it, because I was like, man, that was basically a mute Punisher with having to deal with his wife that didn't die, and you know, that, you know, it's just not a good time.
Yeah.
That, and he's like, this is actually a ripoff of I think he called it it's a Kevin Dead Sentence.
Death Sentence.
It's a Kevin Bacon film. Apparently, he's like, it's the exact same movie,
but with a mute.
But one has dialogue, and one doesn't. Because the one has dialogue, the concept of what's happening and the connecting the dots are more realistic. Because, does anyone care about any spoilers for this
film? Nick Hume is on his way home from a hockey game with his son Brenda and with his son Brendan, and stops for gasoline. Helplessly, he sees a street thug kill Brendan while robbing the station.
So it's different mob event, but same thing. You know what?
Oh,
I mean?
And this one is James Wan.
Interesting.
Yeah,
but needless to say, is it an entertaining movie? Yes, but. There are like it is not one to be taken seriously whatsoever, I guess, to a certain degree.
Okay.
Although I won't lie, I do find the acting well done in the film. Because you know, it's the guy, I forget his name, but it's the guy who was RoboCop and what's his name from in Suicide Squad?
Kinnerman.
Yeah, he does a really good job of showing you his emotions of going through this like ordeal. And it's actually really well done in that regard. Like, there is pluses to the film. It's just there is also some of, like, I don't understand.
Man, okay, sorry. Because the fact that you were saying all this stuff feels so heavily like Punisher, I wanted to check when Punisher came out. So he comes out in 1974.
But, I mean, when did Death Wish come out? You know, when did... Like,
well, that's what I was going to say. Death Sentence, the book that the movie you're talking about is based off, came out in 1975. So comes out a year later. Because it really does. All these things do sound like they're pulling from the same trope. Jaws, what was the title you said?
Death Wish.
You said Death Wish.
Which is it's always man gets family gets murdered by a bunch of thugs. Man gets mad. Doesn't find justice in the justice system,
right?
Becomes a vigilante, just a dude with a gun shooting up everybody, and he's the hero.
So, you know? Death Wish, the novel by Brian Garfield that the movie is based off of, came out in 72. That movie comes out in 74. Death Sentence, which is, it seems like a sequel series, comes out in Death Sentence is a sequel to that book series. That comes out in 74, in 75, then gets turned into a movie in 2007. So I think Jaws hit the nail on the head. It seems like the origin of the kind of Punisher archetype falls back to this Death Wish thing. Because it's Death Wish and Death Sentence seem to be exactly in line with what we were talking about. Even to the point that I would say, this almost feels like it inspires Punisher, because if it comes out in 72 and then Punisher is 74, that this all feels like it's coming from the same like tree.
Yeah,
probably. Doesn't fall too far.
Yeah. Interesting.
But needless to say, I would say go see it. Do I think it has much rewatchability? No.
No. I thought it was going to be like a Christmas, because remember, was it last week that I was saying like, watch that, watch Violent Night, and then watch Die Hard if you want to do your Christmas themed.
Well, that's the thing, is because it's all the, but I wouldn't even call it Christmas theme, because the only thing, let me finish. Yes, there's a murder that happens on Christmas.
Yeah.
But then 80% of the movie is not on that day, and it's not on the last day of the film, which is like, there's a significant chunk. Like, if anything, it's a holiday film, because that's what they actually do throughout the film.
Right.
They pause at the holidays. So I'd say it's a holiday film.
Like the every time they're jumping in to show you his progress, it's at the holidays. Like
what Thanksgiving.
What was that Batman movie that did that?
Long Halloween.
Long Halloween. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
You know, they had like, I found the stops. At least if I remember, they had like, because I know they had one in April, which I thought was like April Fool's, if I wasn't sure of the date that they were putting on the calendar. Definitely one was Thanksgiving. I forget what was in between them, because they had like a few montages of his ability of his learning of dealing with it, right?
So, right. Yeah. But again, the movie has very little dialogue.
None. Other than hearing, I'll spoil it. Other than saying it's okay, one time,
yeah,
or something equivalent to that from the wife to him. Other than that, it's like you hear the radio. Like, you know right. what I mean? So there's dialogue on the radio. There's dialogue on police scanners, but you never hear someone talk to somebody else.
Yeah. But you do hear the sound in the movie, like let's say a car driving and all that stuff. Guns.
Yeah. 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 You have everything. It's just, it's like a series of events that you're following a guy who just so happens to never interact with somebody.
Interesting. All right. I mean,
like, well, sorry, interact on a speech level.
I that sounds exactly like what millennials and Gen Z would want. A full action movie where you don't talk to
no chance of me being awkward at all.
Exactly. Oh, bingo. all the Gen Z people I know keep being like, I was out with my Gen Z colleague the other day for work, and we were going somewhere, and I was just like, oh, my buddy lives around the corner, I should call them. And she's just like, you're just gonna cold call your friend? And I was just like, yes, because I'm an adult and she's an adult and I can just call her. And she's like, that's just weird. I would never just call my friend. I'm like, yeah, because you're
that. Remember, Community.
What did you
want? There was an episode where Britta, I think she was seeing a carny that every time the carnival comes around to town.
Oh, it's yeah, like yeah.
Her weakness. She always, so they got the carny's phone, Troy and Annie.
Yeah.
And then they started texting Britta back. They're like, no, don't come see me, this, that, and the other. And at some point, they're like, oh, stop talking to me, and I'm gone forever, bye. And at some point, she calls, and they're like, oh, my God.
Who calls?
Older than us. She can actually just call. Ah, she remembers how to use the phone. She can call. Ah, and they're just freaking out.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly. So ridiculous. Boys, I think we're pretty much – Jaws, you didn't list anything, so I'm guessing you didn't have –
No, I got nothing.
All right, man. So, I mean,
I'm playing games that are too old to be mentioned, and watching just a bunch of YouTube stuff, but nothing that's
which game? I want to know which games. I like retro games.
I finally finished Pokemon Legends Arceus. I caught all the Pokemon.
Nice.
I fought God. Congrats. You know, 10 years old. What are you going to do? Fight God. I mean, it's weird that a lot of Japanese RPGs are like that.
I got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey God, can I go back home? No.
Oh, not even? Oh, shit. Okay. Hilarious. Well, you know that what time it is, folks. Geek news and rumors. And it's not going to loop this time. All right. There we go. I didn't
come for once. Nailed it.
Oh, so the first, Jaws, I'll let you read this first one.
Oh,
Peter Cullen, because okay. I know.
So Peter Cullen, Canada's own voice actor, voice, you might know him as Optimus Prime, voice of the Predator, receives a Lifetime Emmy Achievement Award. And it was actually presented to him by his good friend, Frank Welker, the voice of Megatron. Nice.
And Scooby-Doo, if I'm not mistaken?
He's Fred from Scooby-Doo. Yes, he's right. Scooby-Doo, and he's Fred in Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, cool. That's what I thought. That's
so cool. Frank Welker, that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so cool that these two have been voice acting for, like, since the dawn of time and just running everything.
Yeah, and just... You know, long time coming, you know, someone that's been in the game for a very long time. I remember at TFCon, he mentioned that he used to work on CBC in Montreal on the radio. So, So Montreal's own Peter Cullen, Lifetime Achievement Award.
I didn't realize he worked in Montreal.
Yep.
Man, so two of the like biggest nerd things ever, Transformers and Star Trek. Both Montreal, William Shatner and Peter Cullen.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it was William Shatner. Oh, it's William Shatner.
William Shatner from Montreal. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. One of the big jokes is, knock on wood, not that I wish him to pass, but one of the big jokes at McGill campus supposedly is like, there's a building called the Shatner Building because they plan to name it after him once he passes, but he hasn't passed. So they can't officially call it the Shatner Building, but supposedly everyone on campus calls it the Shatner Building.
Yeah. Is what I
call it. Okay, cool. So, I like that. That Montreal has been.
Plumber 2 is also from Montreal, too.
Is he really?
Yep.
Damn. Okay. Montreal. I mean,
that's some talent. I mean, that's what I keep telling everybody. The thing that Quebec exports is talent.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. We got a little piece to play for you guys today for the geek news before we go into the next piece. So I'm going to play this right now. This is shout outs to 8-Bit Fist. I'm going to start from the beginning because I started playing before I hit play. But so this is Ronell from 8-Bit Fist, and he's doing a whole clip that I feel really summarized how I felt specifically about the situation regarding the leak that happened recently with the Sony. Yeah.
And Insomniac Studios.
Because they were the ones that would hit like the most, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we go. I'm going to play that clip.
It's over for Insomniac. Everything from future projects up until 2035, Wolverine gameplay being leaked, to even profit numbers and employee personal information. I think it's safe to say that this does no good for anyone. I don't care about a game that's coming out in 2035. I barely care about a game that's coming out next year. Maybe there is something to be said about the Wolverine gameplay, but honestly, gamers can't wrap their head around an unfinished game. And outside of the occasional die-hard console fanboy or investor, why would I care about profit numbers? And employee personal information is just sad. I think we can all agree that this leak has done more harm than good, which makes it extra weird to me as to why people like IGN are spreading the leaks. Not just reporting on the fact that there is a leak, but spreading them. Because just to remind you guys, these hackers didn't do this for some sort of down with the man, for the people moment. They did this for their own personal gain. This was ransom. They said, give us millions of dollars or we're going to release it to the public. So people like IGN and even some content creators full on explaining the details of the leak only gives them more leverage to do stupid shit like this. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help us. So for everyone asking why they won't hack something of importance, it's because they don't care. They want to make some bread.
So, yeah, I mean, I think he really hits the nail on the head with that. It was how I felt at first when I first heard about it. Part of it is hard, though, because when he specifically mentions almost all the stuff that was leaked. Some of the stuff that I think that leaked that people do want to know about is like the plans for IPs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. For example, the X-Men IP, similar to how the movie studios have to do certain amount of projects to keep an IP alive. It sounds like that is the same in the video game industry, which I didn't realize. I never really thought about that. I kind of just thought that was, we want you to make games so that people will think of our characters. So here, you make a game. Like, I thought they were licensing, like they were hiring the companies to make the games, not that the companies were licensing their IPs to make games. So I learned something new already from this leak. I do think it's unfortunate that as much information as it did leak, but I also do think as a fan of games and comic books and all that information, I do think people would like to know that, X-Men is going to be exclusive on PlayStation until 2035, because even that would affect people's buying habits. Are you going to buy an Xbox if you're that big of a Marvel fan and might want to play these games as they come out over the next 10 to 12 years? Stuff like that is, and it's unfortunate that we know it because of the way it was found out, but I do still think it is somewhat relevant to some of us as fans. So,
yeah. I know that, I think the deal was that they get exclusive rights or no other games can be made with the X-Men characters, but they are allowed to use some of them or intertwine them in other projects and other video games outside of that, and it doesn't apply to older X-Men games that already came out. So it's just specifically like these characters that we're focusing on, like no other games could be made of the X-Men. I mean, right. You do other stuff and Wolverine's a part of this group, okay, fine, whatever, but sure.
Midnight Sun, for example.
Yeah.
So those games exist. Those games can still be sold and everything, but just anything after from what they're doing.
Honestly.
I was going to say, I did watch the video from IGN, and it did say all of this could be old. So like not too long before a bunch of Xbox stuff got leaked out. But then we saw how old all that information was because we were already in and some of that stuff wasn't lining up. So, you know, things change.
Yes,
plans are fluid.
That is a very good point. Yeah. If you leaked old information from, and this is something I'm going to mention in the news later, but if you leak information from Warner for their plans 2 to 3 years from now, before this news that just got announced that Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount Global are in talks to merge, that's going to be old news.
Yeah. You know?
So, anyways, the next piece of news we have, Sony managed to ship 10 million PS5 consoles from July to December, hitting 50 million units in 3 years.
It's pretty good.
4 years, I guess, technically, because 2020.
Or is that bad if you think about it?
You always say ship. You never say sold.
True. That's a good point. Yeah, they did say ship. Yeah, valid point.
Is that a good or bad if we think about it? If you think about how many households there are and people.
Well, okay, thank you, Dave. I knew I wasn't crazy because I thought 50 million sounded low for four years.
Yeah, because if you think about it. But I know they
had production problems. So
they had production problems and they haven't changed the price at all because there are some people who are sticklers about, like, I will only buy a console once
it drops. Yeah.
The price has at least dropped a certain amount, which is fair.
Yeah.
And they did come out with one new refresh and the price still hasn't gone down. Yeah, even though they kind of took out a few things here and there, but I think the initial size is still the same. And now there's rumors about PS5 Pro from the last story.
Yeah,
because I think it's related to the last story, but there's some rumors about PS5 Pro.
I don't think it's that, because if you think about it, like, example, if you just think of the population of Canada, the US, the UK, the Asian countries in general, or Oriental, I'm not sure which is the better way to say it, but just
not Oriental. Asia.
That's not the right one anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just want, but like, if you think about all that populace,
yeah,
and sure, okay, you might have, like, you know, you have a family, so if there's three boys in that family, they have one console, right? They're not going to buy
right,
three consoles.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it sounds like a small number.
I mean, so Canada. The United States is 400 million Americans at this point. Canada is hitting 40 million or 50, like a little, like up touching 40 million. And then East Asian countries, China is still a billion plus. You have Japan, that's whatever crazy number. So I get what you're saying, that population wise, if you look at all those numbers, to say you shipped 50 million units over the span of 4 years. But I would say, to Jaw's point, and even to your point, if the price point hasn't adjusted and a lot of the games were still coming out on PS4, then... But it does make me think, when I hear that a PS exclusive game sold this many million copies, I'm like, if you only had 50 million units in the field, you're talking about PS4 versions too then for that game.
Well, I know they usually include, depending on the company, they'll include all the various consoles they have out, the PC version of it, and they'll count the digital sales. I think Nintendo does not count their digital sales, even though those might be way higher than their physical sales that they do. But usually they're talking about physical sales, and sometimes they talk about digital sales that's also included. So that means overall versions from Microsoft to Sony to Nintendo, but Nintendo does not talk about their they do not include their digital sales. That's what I remember.
It's just because, like, for example, okay, I guess it's not as many as I thought. Spider-Man 2 has been confirmed to have sold over 5 million units as of October 30th, 2023. It also sold over 2.5 million units in its first 24 hours. Okay, I thought it had sold more than that. So in my head, I was just like, didn't they say that Spider-Man, the Spider-Man game had sold something millions of... But yeah, I guess it's only 5 million. So only 10% of the PS5 owners bought that game. Because it's not even... It's only available on the PS5. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess those numbers add up then when you look at it that way. I think it's funny because when I think of the music industry, we don't even hit numbers like that anymore in the music industry. Mm. The music industry used to move units like this, and now most of these guys are selling, you know, 600,000 units. Like, they're not even.
It's so yeah. shit, by the way.
Yeah. The music, dude. I have a story for you guys off air.
It's hot out here, man.
Yeah, it really is. And then the last thing is just Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount Global in talks of a merger. And yeah, that's crazy. I don't.
Very crazy.
Like, you're talking. Wild. You're talking like in the article I read, they were saying that if these guys were to merge on the film side, Warner Brothers Discovery would acquire top tier properties from Paramount Pictures, including Terminator, Transformers, Mission Impossible, Top Gun, A Quiet Place, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Godfather, Paranormal Activity, Scream, and the Star Trek franchise, just to name a few. Warner Brothers Pictures already includes a stable of DC Extended Universes, Harry Potter, and Lord of the Rings. And then on the TV side, if there was a merger, it would be Warner Brothers Discovery's cable lineup includes CNN, HBO, TNT, TBS, Discovery Channel, Cartoon Network, Food Network, HGTV, TLC. Paramount also includes CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and BET. Meaning, comedy, you would have the Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon all under one roof.
I don't want it. That's and then they'll just start closing shop all exactly. over the place. Oh, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Like, that's too much, man.
Yeah, I don't want it. I don't want it either. But you know, I was listening to a podcast, the Town with Matt Bellany, and he did mention that if there were ever going to be two that would merge, because of the Department of Justice, I think it's the Department of Justice, they wouldn't allow Paramount to merge with Disney because of ABC. You can't own ABC and CBS, and Universal Comcast can't own CBS. So those guys weren't going to merge. So the only other big player on that level would have been Warner Brothers Discovery.
And I don't think the whoever's specifically focusing on mergers in the government, I don't think they would even let it go through, because they let the Warner Brothers go through, and then, oh, it's going to be a great thing for everybody. And then they got rid of a bunch of stuff.
And I agree with you. I do agree with you, but I'm hearing that department fucked up something last time with the Microsoft Blizzard.
Microsoft and Activision.
Yes. So supposedly something that they did for that, because they didn't.
They came in very weak. They were coming after them, and it went really weak, and they didn't know that a lot of Microsoft games aren't on the Switch, and they brought up Nintendo, but they're like, well, we're not on Nintendo at all. Like, Nintendo's not even a separate thing, and even the judge was like, yeah, no, not, these guys aren't on Nintendo, so Nintendo's a non-factor.
Exactly. So from what I understand, one of the reasons that they might be able to try and get something like this going is because the blood's in the water on the fact that they went so poorly on this last attempt with the video game thing.
But I feel like they might be a little bit better because it's not video games. Video games, a lot of people don't know anything about video games.
Yeah, but if you're the government, you're supposed to do the research. That's not an excuse. You can't say you're a government agency trying to defend why this shouldn't happen and you didn't do the research. That's bad. That's bad business. Which is
but
why
it also seemed like everywhere else in the world, it was kind of going through pretty fine, which is, you know.
So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Especially the EU. The EU is usually like, but I think the only thing they had to do was separate, and Ubisoft in the EU gets to publish their games.
Yeah. I mean, hey, man, we'll see what happens next. But hopefully something happens before the beginning of next year, because this is the last one of the year for us, guys. Mm-hmm. Ending off 2023, December 20th. It feels like a good one. The shortest day of the year is tomorrow, I think, right?
Yeah.
The solstice, the winter solstice. So you know, we'll sign off, and then we'll come back when the days are longer and brighter and sunnier, and we'll have some more nerd stuff for you guys. Thanks for tuning in to another fantastic edition, if I do say so myself, of Geektastic Cypher. Jaws, what do you want to tell the people?
Don't forget to check out the Toy Armada podcast and Transformers Slag. And this weekend will be the year end, the top toys of 2023.
Oh, dope. Yeah. See, I mean, it's that time of year, man. It's wrap up time. Mm-hmm. We'll probably start the year off next year with talking about some of the stuff that we love from 2023, because we're not going to get to do one before the end of the year. Dave, anything you want to tell the people?
No, just happy holidays and be safe.
Yeah. Happy holidays, folks. Peace, everybody. We're out.
Holidays. Bye.
Peace.